21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus and Company. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for award-winning 21st Century Radio. Here's your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Just one key unlocks them both. It's there at your
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. This is Dr. Bob Hieronymus, a lowly PhD, hanging out in this part of the Megaverse. And, of course, our executive producer and research assistant is Laura Cordner, who, once again, without her help, this program would not have been possible. And our engineer is A.Y. Warshaw. Now, let's thank those guys who just marched out of here. The Youngbloods. The law of the land in America is the Constitution. And Amendment number 1 is the freedom of religion, speech, and the press. And it reads, quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, end quote. Now, horrifyingly today, there are fundamentalist politicians and preachers who are trying to rework our sacred stories in order to maintain that America was designed as a Christian nation and all other religions are not only unwelcome, but somehow dangerous. Since 2005, I've been interviewed dozens of times for documentaries that have been repeated over and over again on the History, Discovery, National Geographic, Sci-Fi channels, as well as on Canadian, Russian, and German television. And my books, Founding Fathers, Secret Societies, and United Symbolism of America, have been translated into Spanish, French, German, Russian, and Japanese. And whenever I have the chance to talk about our current threat to religious freedom in this country, here's what I have to say. For the record, I am not critical of Christ's teachings, just the opposite, in fact. I am critical of the lies that are presented in his name. I believe the Master Jesus Christ was the ultimate expression of compassion, unconditional love, and being our brother's keeper. And I agree with Thomas Jefferson, who said in an 1813 letter to John Adams, that the words of Jesus are as easily distinguishable from those of his evangelists as, quote, diamonds in a dunghill, end quote. Christ is a new dimension of love. I believe it is urgent to present the historical origins of America's symbols to balance out the lies currently being told about them. Our program tonight was fortuitously timed with our guest Selena Fox, a pagan priestess, an outspoken advocate of religious liberty. It's perfectly timed because starting last week, an initiative called the DC-40 has begun, led by the New Apostolic Reformation, where they are laying siege on Washington, D.C., to cast out all the demons. They see demons everywhere, in politicians they don't like, in media and entertainment, and especially in American symbolism, using the goddess like Lady Liberty. Now, this is such an urgent problem because several Republican presidential candidates are closely allied, with this movement, including Rick Perry, Michelle Bachmann, Ron Paul, and, of course, Sarah Palin. Now, we'll tell you more about this contemporary attack on religious freedom later this hour. Now, this is the latest in a series of interviews which will be published in 2013 in our book Lady Liberty. In this series, we have heard from Dr. Gunnar Thompson, Dr. Jordan Paper, Dr. Rian Eisler, Chief Aina Olamo, Douglas George Contintio, and Joanne Shenandoah, Dr. Sally Resch Wagner, Nancy Jo Fox, Katja Miller, and Max Dashew. Selena Fox followed a lifelong interest in how symbols can impact people therapeutically and graduated cum laude with a B.S. in psychology from the College of William and Mary in Virginia and received an M.S. in counseling psychology from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Her professional affiliations have included the American Psychological Association, American Counseling Association, and the American Academy of Religion, among others. She has patriot blood in her veins, which may help explain why she was attracted to Lady Liberty from such an early age. She has traced her genealogy back to ancestors who fought in the Revolutionary War and served in the Continental Congress, and is the proud descendant of Freemasons that included her father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. Today, Reverend Selina Fox is Senior Minister and High Priestess of Circle Sanctuary, a Wiccan church, pagan resource center, and nature preserve. For more than 30 years, she has served internationally as one of the elders and spokespersons for the Wiccan religion and related forms of contemporary paganism and nature religion. In 1988, after several successful legal battles to maintain religious freedom for pagans in the United States, she renamed Circle Sanctuary's Religious Freedom Network, quote, Lady Liberty League, and we're going to hear more about their mission later this hour. And one final note. Over 34 years ago, in 1977, our paths first crossed via the Llewellyn publication Gnostica News, in which both Selina Fox and I published articles about our love for American symbols. Tonight, it is a great privilege and honor to have her join us on 21st Century Radio to talk about our mutual passions for the genius of Thomas Jefferson and the inspirational guidance of Lady Liberty. Welcome to 21st Century Radio, Selina Fox.
Great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, Selina. The image of Lady Liberty comes to us from ancient Rome, where they worshipped Libertas as a virtue. What's the difference between a virtue and a goddess?
The Roman religion evolved over time. During the time of the Republic, there were both personal and public virtues, concepts, ideals. And libertas, or liberty, was one of those. Over time, that virtue became more and more valued and honored and evolved into the form of a goddess. And temples were erected in her honor. There were shrines, altars, ceremonies. April 13th was one of the sacred days to her.
Well, would you please describe Libertas and her imagery and her mythology? How is the American Statue of Liberty different from the Roman Libertas?
In ancient Roman times, she took a variety of forms. She commonly was in the form of a matron with long flowing robes. Sometimes she had a crown of laurel leaves in her hair. Sometimes it was a cap called a pileus, which was associated with liberation from slavery. Some other symbols that she had was what some have been calling the Liberty Pole, which was actually used in the freeing of slaves. She had a cat associated with her from time to time, and a broken jar at her feet representing release from constriction. And the symbol of light, be it in a torch or rays around her head, also were associated with her since ancient times. And the Statue of Liberty has some of those symbols.
Certainly does. Certainly does. Is it natural that a patron goddess or virtue would be created just for their needs? Or did Libertas represent the respectable Roman matron?
She certainly was honored as a beloved matron, and in addition to serving all the people, she did have a particular association with those who had been freed. And I do not see that she was really created for those who had been enslaved and then freed, but certainly she became a patroness for those who were in that situation.
Yeah, well, how, when, and why did Libertas become a symbol used by European colonists in America?
Prior to the Revolutionary War, as the colonies, which later became the United States of America, were struggling with issues regarding freedom and self-determination. Some of the imagery from classical Rome and classical Greece started appearing in publications and in speeches. Mm-hmm. And Libertas was well known to the founders, many of whom had what was known as classical education, which included a study of Greek and Latin and an understanding not only of the mythology of those ancient peoples, but the concepts. So Libertas started becoming part of a symbol for freedom as America itself was moving towards the Revolutionary War, and then really started appearing once the nation was birthed.
Well, could you give us a couple of examples of her appearances before the American Revolution?
Political cartoons, and then after the U.S. of A. became a reality, she was in artwork and in particular, in coinage.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did she begin? I believe she changed over time. How did that happen, and where did the goddess Columbia come from?
Yes, liberty did evolve, and as goddesses and other sacred forms in other cultures morph and change over time, that was certainly the case with Libertas in the United States of America. Her form was not standardized, and if you look at the coins that started being minted in the 1790s on up into the 1800s, 1900s, and even till today, you will see a variety of different images. Sometimes she is holding the Liberty Pole, sometimes she has just her head depicted, sometimes her whole body is depicted. Sometimes she's walking, sometimes she's seated. So a variety of different liberty images came into being, and as different people in the country came to work with that imagery, they put the wrong touches to it.
Sometimes you see her called America, sometimes Freedom, sometimes Columbia, sometimes Liberty. They all have a slightly different variations in their symbolism, but are they fundamentally all the same, or do you think their distinctions are important?
I'd say both are the case. There is a commonality in that America, freedom, Columbia, liberty, all have been words to symbolize the spirit of the United States of America. You asked about Columbia, and Columbia got her name from Columbus, who was thought at that time to have been the one that had made first contact with what we now call North America, even though since that time, other research has shown that Vikings were there many years before, and there's speculation about other peoples also coming, Templars from Scotland, for example. However, Columbus was revered by those who were founders of the USA and used Columbia as a variation of that name to look at Libertas as she manifested in the United States of America. I see that the distinctions between each of these forms are important because they each have a story connected with them.
Yeah.
The word freedom often is connected with the Statue of Freedom that's atop the United States Capitol building. And she has the flowing robes of Libertas, but she has eagle feathers in her hair and is a real blend with the native traditions of the United States of America as well as the classical elements.
Mm-hmm. Well, could you give us some of your favorite examples of her appearance in the United States and around the world today?
Well, I was born in Virginia, grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, and a form related to Libertas and Columbia is Virtus, who actually is another quality in virtue in ancient Rome of military bravery, but she often is intertwined with liberty herself. And you will see her on the Virginia State Seal and on the flag. You'll find atop a number of Capitol buildings, there are forms of liberty or freedom or Columbia, the Texas State Capitol building, the Georgia State Capitol building, and yes, in Wisconsin, we also have a sacred female image atop our dome. Some courthouses in different parts of the country have liberty figures as well. And not only in the United States today are you seeing this imagery, but you will see that Lady Liberty, Libertas, has actually gone global. She's become multicultural, international, and interreligious in her depictions. Probably the most famous of these other forms that have gone global are the goddess of democracy that is, replicas are now with us in several places around the world, but the original was formed by students in 1989 in Tiananmen Square. It's 33 feet tall, and the torch is there, both hands are holding the torch up, and she became a focus for those demonstrations at those times. However, that quest for freedom was put down, and the statue was destroyed. However, in the years since, more permanent images have taken form. Replicas have appeared in Chinatown, in San Francisco, in Freedom Park, in Arlington, and that was 10 years after the uprising had been defeated. There's a Victims of Communism Memorial in Washington, D.C. that also has an image of this goddess of democracy. And not just in this country, but the University of Calgary has a replica, as well as York University in Toronto. Even in the Egyptian Spring, as it's been called, early in 2011, there were images of liberty that were on posters carried by people in the streets.
Well, we just saw a photograph of one in Beijing. I was very surprised to see that. And every time I think of Tiananmen Square, I think of our dear friend Gong Lu, who's joined us many times, who was on the front lines at Tiananmen Square. Fortunately, he was not run over.
I'm glad to hear that. And I'm also very thankful that Lady Liberty, Libertas, has made that transition from being connected with a particular ancient culture to going not only in the United States, but that concept of freedom, of liberty, that inspiration of that virtue, of that ideal, is now appearing in different parts of the world, in public art, in stories, and in other forms, in music even.
Well, thank you very much, Selena. We'll be back. We're going to take our first break here. The DC 40 initiative of the religious right wing to destroy the Liberty Goddess. Selena's article, Goddess of Freedom, From Libertas to Lady Liberty, is found on Facebook. The Lady Liberty League and the Circle Sanctuary Protecting Nature-Based Religions from Persecution. Please go to circlesanctuary.org.
This is Rhianna Eisler. I'm the author of The Chalice and the Blade, The Real Wealth of Nations, and other books, and president of the Center for Partnership Studies. And I've just done an interview with Dr. Bob Hieronymus for 21st Century Radio, and I've really enjoyed it. So I encourage you to listen. And I also encourage you to go to our website, partnershipway.org.
Well, thank you, Dr. Eisler. This is 21st Century Radio and the DC 40 initiative of the religious right wing to destroy the Liberty Goddess. Go to Selena's article, Goddess of Freedom, From Libertas to Lady Liberty, found on Facebook. The Lady Liberty League and the Circle Sanctuary Protecting Nature-Based Religions from Persecution. CircleSanctuary.org. And to learn more about the DC 40, go to the article on the front page of 21stCenturyRadio.com titled Lady Liberty Needs Your Help, or visit this website that Selena contributes to called HailColumbia.us. Selena, we scheduled this interview with Selena Fox around 2 months ago when we were unaware that there would be a siege on Washington, D.C. starting this week, organized by the New Apostolic Reformation, whose leaders advocate the destruction of Lady Liberty and Lady Freedom, among other anti-liberty things. It just so happens the same week they launch the siege, we are prepared with a guest who has not only successfully fought legal battles to maintain religious freedom, but is an expert on Lady Liberty and pagan symbolism. Selena, can you give us the short-form version of what is happening right now with the DC 40 initiative?
Yes, I first became aware of it during the summer, and it is something that began with a multi-day, multi-state pray focus in an attempt to turn the United States of America from a religiously diverse and pluralistic society into one that would be monoculture, a particular form of political Christianity. I think it is sad that in this day and age, with so much opportunity through the internet, through many different forms of media, to get more complete information about the various types of religious practitioners in the United States, that some of the same old types of rhetoric that go back hundreds of years, back to the time of the Inquisition and what's been known as the burning times, when people who were not deemed to be religiously and politically correct were tortured, were killed, imprisoned, had horrible things done to them. We really need to wake up as humankind and be more aware of the fact that diversity does exist, that's part of the natural scheme of things, and find ways to be able to work together, have greater understanding, more love, peace, and harmony. The DC 40 is a political combined religious crusade to Christianize America through prayer and hate speech. The idea of Washington, D.C., Washington, District of Columbia, not being good for America is ridiculous. It has been part of our country for many, many years, and I think Washington, as the District of Columbia, Columbia being a representation for the spirit of America, is a well-named city. Yes, I have my own biases because the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area is my hometown. But I also, as someone who has really looked at the roots of America, see it as really problematic for any group to want to change the name of our capital city from District of Columbia to District of Christ. And that is part of the agenda, replacing the Statue of Freedom atop the U.S. Capitol building with a Christian cross is also part of the rhetoric that has been making its rounds through YouTube videos and blog articles and discussion on the internet and elsewhere. And the idea of focusing on a different state in the U.S. every day for the next month and a half or so, and doing prayers to turn it Christian, I question how Christian that really is. My understanding of studying Christianity, having been raised Southern Baptist and having read the Bible, is that Jesus about love. Love your neighbor as yourself. It did not have an opt-out clause. Love your neighbor as yourself, except if they're pagan. I don't see that in the Bible. And the anti-pagan rhetoric I see as problematic, the anti-diversity rhetoric I see as problematic from the DC 40, but most importantly, the direct attacks on freedom in our country is a problem.
A huge problem. I neglected to mention Rick Perry, Cindy Jacobs, John Benefiel, of the New Apostolic Reformation, as well as Dominionist ties with Michelle Bachmann, Ron Paul, and, of course, Sarah Palin. Who are these people, not the ones I just mentioned, of course, but who are these people, and why are they afraid of the goddess?
I'm still endeavoring to learn more about why this group is so hate-driven and fear-mongering. I think they're afraid of the so-called goddess of liberty because they're misinformed. I think that the instability in our country's economic situation right now, the growing diversity in our country right now, might be causing some people to try to get some solid basis to help them deal with that uncertainty. But I really think it's a mistake to demonize others. If they truly want to see more Christ-like expressions within the United States of America, it's a time to get to know your neighbor, to express love, compassion, goodwill, unconditional love. That's what we need more of.
You know, I thought that's what Christianity was all about, but these individuals do not mirror any of that. Well,
yeah, over the years, I've had close encounters with people with a very intense political agenda that claim to be Christian. And I say claim to be Christian because the Christians that I know, and I know Christians from a variety of different backgrounds, political philosophies, really are about shining the light of Christian love, compassion, understanding, and harmony. And I have had some encounters with the hate mongers, and it seems that their consciousness is more focused on demonizing things than really expressing love. And I really hope that there can be some dialogue, some exchange that will allow them to consider a wider range of possibilities for how to be in the world with others.
Well, I would hope so, too. Now, how are these attacks on symbolism and freedom of religion actually attacks on the foundations of America?
I see the attack, for example, on what to name our capital city, Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, that attack on Columbia, which is an inclusive spirit of America, is an attack on the basic freedoms upon which our country was founded. I'm descended both on my mother's side and my father's side from people of different backgrounds, of different religions in different parts of Europe that came to America, and many of them came because they were being persecuted for their beliefs. I think it is very important that we take a look at the history of our country and how people in the past have come here for freedom, that are continuing to come here for freedom, and educate and to uphold those freedoms. I think any time a group puts itself out as needing to be dominant with their belief system, especially a religious belief system in this country, that they are attacking the very foundations of freedom, that First Amendment freedom in particular, that's at the heart of our country. We need to find ways to be able to coexist and to collaborate with each other, to work together as one people in this nation. And I truly hope that there can be more understanding about America's real roots, and that that will help offset this distorted, false thinking.
Well, could you give us a few other examples of the religious right wing trying to suppress the pagan symbolism preferred by our Enlightenment and our founders?
I've heard this rhetoric against Lady Liberty, the Statue of Liberty, Libertas, freedom images, over time from a number of different people. And I know that actually, even before my lifetime, there was concerns about the pagan roots of some of the American symbols that represent the essence of our country. The Statue of Liberty has certainly been one of those images that's come under attacks. Even during the time people were raising money for the pedestal in this country, the statue itself was given to the USA by the people of France, and the pedestal was put together with funds from a variety of people within the United States. There were people saying, we don't want this Statue of Liberty on our shores because she's a pagan goddess. Well, what I have to say to that is, Libertas was indeed in ancient Rome a virtue and then a goddess, and that is part of the roots of how we depict liberty. But Lady Liberty, the Statue of Liberty, transcends any sectarian religious origin. She is something that can bring people of many different faiths together. There have been some other cases where what I would call American spirit goddess images have come under attack. Certainly back in 2002, Attorney General John Ashcroft made headlines when he had $8,000 of taxpayer money used for drapery to cover up Lady Justice because one of her breasts was exposed. Fortunately, when Gonzalez came in 2005, the drapes went away. But these statues had been there. Lady Justice, as well as there was actually a male statue as well, the Majesty of Law, they've been there since the 1930s, and certainly the image of Lady Justice and that connection with our country has been there since the colonial era as well. I'm very thankful that Lady Justice was able to be in her original glory. There's another case I mentioned earlier about being native to Virginia, and in the Virginia state flag and the state seal, you'll see Virtus, who has one of her breasts exposed. Well, some attorneys were putting a mural on one side of their building in Norfolk, Virginia, and she was going to be the central figure. Some of the people in the local area were very concerned about that image being on public display, even though she's on the state flag, and attempted to cover her up and shrink her down or omit her from the mural altogether. Fortunately, in the mid-September, that all changed, and now the mural is proceeding ahead with the original form.
Well, they had better luck than I did in Baltimore when I tried to put Thomas Jefferson in a mural, and he got voted out, and I couldn't do anything about it.
Well, one of these things about public art, it can be unpredictable, and different individuals and political influences can edit things. And I'm very glad in both of these two cases, while there were attempts to eradicate or cover up, that in these two cases, freedom persisted. So that was a positive thing.
Well, I heard it again on NPR just this past week on an interview with Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens. He was talking about how we cannot rely on our interpretation of, quote, original intent of the founders, and must adapt their words to contemporary circumstances. For example, he said, the original intent of the founders was to protect only the different branches of Christianity. They did not intend to extend that protection to Muslims or Jews or heathens. What do you say about that?
I don't agree with him, and I think it is unfortunate that someone who was serving as a justice in our country has that attitude. There is a book that's come out about the faiths of our fathers, what America's founders really believed. It's about ALF J. Mapp Jr., and certainly explores some of the Christian variants of some of the founders of the USA. But one of the central themes throughout the book is the fact that the founders really were in favor of religious pluralism and religious freedom for all, and there is a number of different quotes in this particular book that uphold that. I do not agree that the founders really intended to only protect Christianity with religious freedom. They very much wanted to have separation of church and state and religious freedom for all. And certainly, Thomas Jefferson definitely championed that, not only at a national level, but before that with his statutes for religious freedom for the state of Virginia.
Well, we need to take our final break here in the hour with Selena Fox, and we're discussing the DC 40 initiative of the religious right wing to destroy the Liberty Goddess, and Selena's article, Goddess of Freedom, From Libertas to Lady Liberty, found on Facebook. The Lady Liberty League and the Circle Sanctuary, protecting nature-based religions from persecutions. CircleSanctuary.org.
Excellency Aina Olomo, I'm a Yoruba priestess, and you are listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Oh, we had a wonderful time with the Queen there. Well, our guest is Selena Fox, the DC 40 initiative of the religious right wing to destroy the Liberty Goddess. And to learn more on the DC 40, go to the article on the front page at 21stCenturyRadio.com titled Lady Liberty Need Your Help, or visit this website that Selena contributes to called HailColumbia.us. Well, Selena, here's another spin on it. This one from Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States, who said that religion was, quote, embedded into every institution of American life, end quote, and that, quote, separation of church and state in the Revolution was was neither conceived or carried out. How do you answer that?
I don't agree with him. There have been people before the Revolution, during it, and after it that have very much wanted to keep church and state separate, because what had been happening in Europe for hundreds of years when the two had been joined. And I think it's really important that we find ways of keeping church and state separate in the here and now and for the future.
No doubt. Well, could you please define what is meant by pagan religion and describe some of the nature-based religions that are umbrellaed under this term?
Yes. Well, the pagan word has been defined by different people over time in a variety of ways. How I use the pagan word, as well as most people that are using the pagan word for themselves as a form of spiritual and cultural practice, is a form of nature religion that is rooted in old Europe and the Mediterranean. There are both old forms of paganism as well as contemporary forms. Just as Christianity is a large umbrella that has different branches, Protestant Christianity, Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodox, and then another catch-all Christian category for a lot of other forms of Christianity. Under the big umbrella of paganism, you have the Wiccan religion, Druidism, Heathenism, or sometimes it's called the Northern Way or Asatru, and then a whole other catch-all category that has within it pantheism, animism, and forms of pagan religion rooted in particular cultures such as the Baltic nature religions. Paganism, while diverse, has some things in common. There's an honoring of the cycles of nature that may be in the forms of the cycles of sun and seasons and or the cycles of the moon, also honoring the cycles of human life, birth, coming of age into adulthood, marriage, moving into old age, and death passages. The idea of being in harmony not only with other humans, but with the greater circle of life is something that's commonplace across pagan traditions. An honoring of ancestors and ancestral traditions is also commonplace.
Well, Selena, you say you have always felt an affinity for Lady Liberty, but it wasn't until 1985 that you began invoking her in rituals for religious freedom. Tell us what happened.
Well, in 1985, Senator Jesse Helms in the U.S. Senate attempted to pass federal legislation through an amendment to a postal appropriations bill, it was Amendment 705, that would have taken away tax-exempt status of Wiccan churches and defined the Wiccan religion as satanic. It became very apparent that there needed to be direct communication with those on Capitol Hill about this unconstitutional act. And as a result, myself and a number of other people from across the United States, not just people from different pagan traditions, but people of other religions and people who were atheists and agnostics, whole group of people came together. And fortunately, through our communication, those on Capitol Hill decided not to turn this into law. But the fact that it made it through the U.S. Senate by unanimous voice vote was of great concern to us.
Certainly.
So in 1985, in addition to doing the grassroots political organizing to uphold our religious freedom, it was an opportunity to work with Lady Liberty, not only as a symbol of the spirit of America, but to call on her by her pagan goddess name. We envisioned her in our workings. We called on her to protect freedoms, not only for ourselves, but religious freedom for all.
Mm-hmm. Well, in 2005 to 2007, you were back in the legal trenches, this time against the Veterans Administration. What was that case about?
Well, in 1997, the quest began to get the five-pointed star, one point up in a circle, the pinnacle, which is an emblem of faith for the Wiccan religion and many forms of paganism, to be added to the VA's list of emblems of belief that can be included on the grave markers they issue to honor deceased veterans. In 2005, after years going by with it not being added to the list, myself and Circle Sanctuary went from a supporting role in this quest to direct involvement. And we applied not once, but twice. And there was an immediate need in that there were people connected with our church that had loved ones who had died, who were veterans, that wanted to have a marker that was due their loved one who had honorably served with the symbol of faith on it. The short story of how this all got accomplished is we worked with all three branches of government. I went to Washington, D.C. twice and met with the head of the National Cemetery Administration in an attempt to get this done. We were working with Republicans and Democrats up on Capitol Hill. It was multi-partisan support trying to get this accomplished. But after having no success at the executive level or the legislative level, we had to go to Lady Justice's realm, the judicial level, and sued in two different federal courts. It was the court for the Western District of the Federal District of Western Wisconsin and Madison, Wisconsin, where we put out the call to get our freedom upheld, and the conservative judge that heard our case would not delay the case as the VA wanted and forced the VA to turn over the documents having to do with this case. And among the many documents they turned over were documents that implicated the Bush administration, Bush himself, and other people, and their prejudice against our religion. I want to give thanks to Barry Lynn and Americans United for Separation of Church and State.
Now, we'll have to stop here, Selena, and we'll return to you with Selena Fox next hour.
Around the clock. Now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM, Baltimore, and WCBM.com.